This is Fresh Air. Our film critic Justin Chang saw a lot of movies this year at film festivals, in theaters, and at home in his living room. Here he is with a list of his 11 favorite movies of 2022.
It was a terrific year for movies, but also in some ways a dispiriting one. Sure, blockbusters like Top Gun Maverick and the just-released Avatar: The Way of Water brought audiences back to theaters in droves. But romantic comedies and grown-up dramas had more than the usual trouble finding audiences. Some of the movies on my year-end list passed quickly and quietly through theaters. Some are still in theaters, and a few will open more widely in 2023. Whether on the big screen or at home, I hope you'll take the time to seek them out. The best movie I saw in 2022 is called No Bears, which will begin a slow theatrical rollout this month. The brilliant Iranian filmmaker Jafar Panahi plays a version of himself, also named Jafar Panahi, who's spending several days in a remote village, where he becomes embroiled in a tense local drama. It's a fierce critique of small-town traditionalism and religious dogma. But while this is an angry and ultimately devastating movie, it's also a surprisingly playful and inventive one. Here I should note that Panahi, a longtime thorn in the side of the Iranian government, was recently imprisoned. No Bears itself is a powerful act of protest, and one of his very best movies. The next two on my list are both deeply moving parent-child stories drawn from their filmmakers' real-life experiences. At number two is Aftersun, an achingly sad memory piece from the Scottish director Charlotte Wells. Paul Mescal and Frankie Corio are pitch-perfect as a father and daughter trying to connect on a summer holiday, a journey that builds to an ending of startling emotional force. At number three on my list is The Eternal Daughter, the English filmmaker Joanna Hogg's sly riff on the Haunted House movie. It stars Tilda Swinton in two roles, a mother and daughter, but this spooky, sad ghost story never feels gimmicky. My fourth favorite movie of the year is Todd Field's mesmerizing, much-acclaimed drama, Tar, starring a never-better Cate Blanchett as a famous classical conductor whose life is gradually consumed by scandal. You've probably heard less about my number five movie, Benediction, Terence Davis's film about the English poet and World War I veteran Siegfried Sassoon. It's a barbed, tender, and finally wrenching portrait of a gay artist, magnificently played by Jack Lowden. In this sharply written scene, Sassoon quarrels with his unfaithful lover, the actor and musician Ivor Novello, played by Jeremy Irvine.
Surprised to see Fenton here?
Why? I know lots of people. Fenton is just another admirer. Fan.
Both seem to me to be very friendly after so short an acquaintance.
You know, I get the distinct impression that I'm being grilled and that the storm in an egg cup is brewing.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to be petty, but I am very jealous of you.
Yes, well, affairs are always messy. Who can know the secrets of a human heart?
Usually the people who don't have one.
Well, my, hasn't it gone chilly in here?
My number six movie is Decision to Leave, a grandly entertaining murder mystery from the South Korean filmmaker Park Chan-wook. Starring Park Hae-il as a homicide detective and Tong Wei as the femme fatale he's investigating, the movie is an elaborate romantic riff on the classic Vertigo. That makes it a nice match for the year's other first-rate Hitchcockian thriller and my number seven movie of the year, Kimmy. Steven Soderbergh's taut and exhilarating genre piece is basically Rear Window for the age of Alexa, starring a terrific Zoe Kravitz as a COVID-cautious shut-in turned amateur sleuth. The eighth movie on my list is Crimes of the Future, a grim dystopian shocker set in a time when surgery has become an artistic and sometimes recreational pursuit. Like a lot of David Cronenberg movies, it's not for the faint of heart. But it does touch the heart and the mind in eerily provocative ways. One of its stars, the marvelous French actor Léa Seydoux, also appears in my very different number 9 movie, One Fine Morning, directed by Mia Hansen-Love. In scene after beautifully observed scene, a single mom struggles to take care of her ailing father while opening herself up to the possibility of new love. The 10th movie on my list is Io, a heart-rending story about a donkey making its way through a cruel and unforgiving world. It's a tribute to the classic 1966 film O Hazar Balthazar, but the great Polish director Jerzy Skolimowski approaches his four-legged subject with a formal and emotional brilliance all his own. And finally, I've reserved an 11th spot for Nope, Jordan Peele's completely original and wonderfully subversive sci-fi horror western. It's thrilling, disturbing, and has a lot to say about an entertainment industry that reduces human experience to big-budget spectacle. Like every movie on my list, Nope is one I recommend with an unequivocal yes.
Justin Chang is film critic for the LA Times. You can find his year-end review on our website, freshair.npr.org. Tomorrow, we'll continue our series featuring some of our favorite interviews of the year. We'll hear from tennis great John McEnroe. He's known for his epic matches with Bjorn Borg, his outbursts at umpires, and his new careers as a TV tennis analyst and the narrator on the hit Netflix series Never Have I Ever. This year, he was the subject of a Showtime documentary. I hope you'll join us.